Going Linux, episode 35, getting podcasts delivered automatically. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom.
Going Linux is designed to provide you with practical, day-to-day advice on how to use Linux and Linux applications to get things done.
If you're new to Linux, moving to Linux, or just thinking about going Linux, then this podcast is for you.
Currently, we publish 3 episodes a month.
Yes, 3.
Yes, that's right, 3. In our user experience episodes, we take 2 months to cover a topic. During the first month, we introduce the topic for new Linux users and recent converts. During month 2, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for users of Linux building their confidence and competence with the operating system.
And between user experience episodes, we have listener feedback episodes. In those episodes, we read listener email, play listener-generated audio, and answer listener questions. Finally, following the third Tuesday of each month, we post Larry's appearances on the Computer America show, minus the commercials. So just to be clear, we have 3 episodes a month. One is user experience like this one, one is listener feedback, and one is Larry on the Computer America show.
In today's episode, getting podcasts delivered automatically when new episodes are released.
We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
Okay, Tom, we've received lots of email from our listeners anticipating this episode.
We have, and since we really didn't know all the answers, and still don't, we've been researching our heads off.
Yes, we have, and that's why our episode this month is a little bit later than normal. Hopefully, it'll be worthwhile.
I hope so.
Yeah, so let's start with some definitions, shall we?
We shall.
Okay, so, Tom, maybe you can take this one. What is a podcast?
A podcast is what everybody's listening to right now. It might be audio. It might be video. Don't they call video something else?
It can be a video podcast or a vidcast or a vodcast. And audio podcast can
sure.
be oddcasts and
screencasts
and yeah, all that stuff.
But whatever
stuff.
It is, when a new one comes along, you can either manually or automatically download it to your computer and enjoy it.
Right. And there can be other attachments on some podcasts as well, not just the audio or video file. I've seen PDF files attached to a podcast and other information as well.
Sure.
Obviously, a media player can't play a PDF file, but sometimes that information is attached too.
Right. And how is that different from a media file that's just posted to a website?
Ah, good question. Certainly, you can take a video file or an audio file and just post it to a website for people to download. The difference with a podcast is, in addition to having the file available directly, or sometimes instead of having the file available directly for download, a podcast gives you the ability to subscribe. Just like subscribing to a newspaper or a magazine, you can have it delivered to you whenever there's a new one available. So the difference is, instead of you going to the website to get the new episode whenever you find out there's one available,
or when you remember to check on it,
or when you remember to check, whenever the podcaster posts a new episode, your podcast receiving software,
your podcatcher,
knows right away that there's a new episode and downloads it for you.
Cool.
So, moving on to our next definition.
Podcasting software.
Podcasting software is software that lets you create a podcast. I've heard the term misused by some people who think that podcasting software is what you use to receive a podcast. Not so. Podcasting software lets you create a podcast, and that can include things like the recording software or the RSS feed creator.
And just to make a brief definition, when we talk about RSS, That stands for Real Simple Syndication. It's a very simple way to broadcast whatever content you want to people that want to receive it.
Yep, and it's that that makes the subscription possible.
Right.
So if we've described podcasting software as something that lets you create a podcast, then what is software that lets you receive a podcast, Tom?
And that's the podcatcher. And that's whatever program or applications you're using to go out, check the RSS feed, see if there's something new, and automatically download whatever the content is. Some possible podcatchers are things like Amarok, Rhythmbox, Banshee, iTunes, that's one I've heard of, and Bashpodder. And there are many, many others.
Now, when we talk about media player, there are two types of media player. One's hardware and one is software. A hardware media player is something like an iPod, a Zune, an iAudio player, a SanDisk, a Creative Zen, or things like that.
Sure, or just generic players. I asked a kid this last school year what kind of MP3 player he had. He said red and black.
That makes sense to him,
yeah,
and to me.
I said, let's see it. And sure enough, there was no name and it was red and black.
It's a red and black MP3 player. Okay, so what's a software media player, Tom?
Those are media players that you use to play your media on your computer rather than on your portable media player. Once again, eTunes, Amarok, Banshee, Rhythmbox, MPlayer, Songbird. I could go on and on.
Yeah, and these are also known as media managers or media managing software. And as you mentioned, Tom, they're for your computer.
Right.
So with those definitions out of the way, let's move on to some description of how you actually use some of these. But before we do that, some of our listeners may be wondering why we're mentioning iTunes. iTunes doesn't work on Linux. It doesn't run under Linux natively. And what I've noticed is that many of the Going Linux podcast listeners, even those who have already switched to Linux, are still using iTunes to listen to our podcast. And the way they're doing that varies. Some are keeping Windows XP or an older version of Windows around in a dual boot situation just so that they can use iTunes to download podcasts. And the only reason they use Windows is just for that. Some have been able to get iTunes working under Wine in Linux, and that's something I haven't been able to do, quite frankly, but I understand it is possible. And yet there are others who have a second computer that runs Windows, and that's how they download and listen to their podcasts and other music and load it up to their iPod.
Yeah, I've never tried running iTunes under Linux, only because I never fell in love with it, but I know a lot of people really have, and that can be frustrating.
Yeah, and according to the web stats for our website, 37%, that's the largest portion, of the people who visit the goinglinux.com website are doing so with iTunes, more than any other browser, the various versions of browsers, yes. Almost 40% of people visiting the site are visiting it with iTunes.
I'm astonished.
So although it's a Windows and Mac only software, we felt we should compare for our listeners who are converting from Windows to Linux.
Yeah, let's get that down to 20% by next year, all right?
Yeah. Well, maybe with the instructions on this particular episode, people will know how to use the software that's available for Linux to replace iTunes.
Right. And while there are a lot of software applications to choose from, they don't all do the same thing. Some are multifunction, and some don't even let you pick up a podcast, subscribe to a podcast.
So let's take a look at what each kind of application does. And let's compare MPlayer, VLC, iTunes, Amarok, Rhythmbox, Songbird, Banshee, Bashpodder, and GTK Pod. That's just a sampling of some of the software that's available for doing some of these functions under Linux.
Right.
So let's start, Tom, with GTK Pod.
Yeah, GTK Pod is not a podcatcher. You have to use another application like maybe BashPodder or Rhythmbox or the like, and have the file fetched and put away from you. After that, GTK Pod is geared simply to look at those files that you've downloaded in the place that you normally download them and sync them over to your iPod. And that's all it does.
Yeah, it's simply a way of getting the music or podcast episodes or whatever you want from your computer to your iPod. And it works only with iPods. If you have another sort of media player, you're out of luck with GTK Pod.
Right. It's an iPod solution only.
Right. Now, BashPodder is just a podcatcher, so it would be an ideal matchup with something like GTK Pod, because all it does is receive podcasts after subscribing to them. So it doesn't play podcasts or music, and it doesn't load them onto your iPod or other media player.
Right. And this is pretty nifty if you are comfortable with shell scripts. BashPodder does not have a GUI, a graphical user interface. Here's a quote from Linux.com. It says, BashPodder is a quick CLI-based GPL podcatching client. It's one of the oldest ones out there and may still be the best. It's hands-on, no frills, and a perfect example of how a few command line statements can work together to do a powerful job. And that's the end of the quote. I tried it today, and it is pretty nifty if you're happy and comfortable in the terminal environment. Very easy to use from the command line. To add or remove podcast, you just open a file called bp.config with your text editor and copy and paste the link to the RSS feed in there. I followed the tutorial, and we have a link to the tutorial, and ran into two small hitches. First, you need to fetch three small files using wget from the terminal. The links in the tutorial are out of date, so get the right ones from the official BashPodder site, and we'll also have a link to that. Then the second problem, the script complained that it couldn't find the file podcast.log. So I interrupted it. I hit Control C, and I used my text editor to make a blank document and saved it as podcast.log. That did solve the problem. But then after I looked at the script, it seems to me that that problem would have solved itself after the first run. What's cool is you can run this right out of the box or really go hands-on and tinker away if you're even a little bit into shell scripting. There are just a few lines of beautiful code with excellent comments to show you what's going on. And if nothing else, go look at that code if you're interested in shell scripting, just to see what really good code looks like.
Yeah, and we have to say thanks to Link of the Linux Link Tech Show for creating BashPodder. And in fact...
Oh, really? Is he the guy that did it?
He's the guy who did it. And in fact, on the BashPodder site, there is a link to some user-submitted scripts. And within those scripts, there is indeed a GUI add-on for BashPodder. I haven't tried it, but I understand it works quite well and gives
you... Yeah,
it
looks like there's a whole toy box for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, if you listened to the Linux Reality podcast, on that podcast in episode 22, Chess Griffin provides a review of audio players for Linux, and I believe it's in that episode that he mentions that he wrote a custom script for BashPodder, and that's on the user-submitted link on the BashPodder site as well.
All right, and shout out to Chess.
Yes, absolutely. There is a class of software that we've talked about here that is simply a media player, and that's software like MPlayer, VLC, and many others. They don't function as podcatchers. They don't automatically load music to your iPod or other MP3 player. They simply play music. So,
right. Once you found a way to get the podcast onto your machine, they play it.
Yeah, they play it, but they're not going to move it onto a portable device for you. So we're going to skip over those since those are simply media players, and there's plenty of information about playing media on the various forums and websites of the Linux distributions as well as the websites for those particular applications.
Okay.
So let's focus on the other applications that we've described at the beginning of the show and why you would want to use one of those programs over another, and what makes each software application different. What are its unique features, in other words?
Okay.
All right, so if you like the modular approach, or if you like to choose your own best-of-breed software for each purpose, then here is what you need. If you have your computer and you want to be able to subscribe to a podcast, play it on your computer, and move the episodes over to your iPod, and the only kind of media player you're using is an iPod, then one solution you could use is you can use BashPodder to get the podcasts and download them to your computer, because that's all it does. You can use MPlayer, VLC, or other media players that we've described to play the podcasts on your computer, and you can use GTKPod to load the podcasts onto your iPod. Three dedicated applications, best of breed, for doing what they each do best. If, on the other hand, you have any other media player, and this will work with iPods as well, but GTKPod only works with iPods, so that's why it was the solution for the iPod-only person. But if you have any kind of media player, you can use BashPodder to get the podcasts, and you can use something like Amarok, Songbird, or Banshee to load the podcasts onto your iPod or other media player and to play the podcasts on your computer.
We were going to mention Rhythmbox in that list, but at this time, Rhythmbox cannot in any way write to or change the information that's on your MP3 player, iPod, or whatever.
Yeah, that's a shame. I see, having tried it, that it can read the information and can play what's on there. It just can't move it. So if you're going to use Rhythmbox as your media player, maybe you need to get GTKPod to move the podcasts over there.
Sure, sure. You can use Rhythmbox as your podcatcher.
Yes.
And it's a pretty good media player.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit annoying in that every time you plug in a music player of any kind, Rhythmbox opens and then scans that drive. And I haven't found a way to stop it from doing that.
Yeah, I've noticed on my machine, I've got both GNOME and KDE. When I'm logged into GNOME, Rhythmbox opens immediately when I plug in my iPod. However, when I'm using KDE, Rhythmbox is silent. So that's one way to change it, Tom. Convert over to KDE.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Nah, I'm staying over on this side.
Yeah. Maybe one of our listeners would have a suggestion as to how to change it so that Rhythmbox doesn't open automatically when you plug in your iPod or other media player.
I did go into the documents and try to figure out how to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a config file. And I thought I fixed it, but it ignored me, and it does it anyway.
Well, that wasn't very nice.
It's a minor annoyance.
Yeah. All right, so if we move on to those kind of people who want an all-in-one solution that subscribes, downloads, plays, and transfers your podcasts for you to your media player, then you can choose any of these podcatchers: iTunes, Amarok, Songbird, Banshee, and there may be others that we're leaving out. We mean no disrespect. These are just the ones that we've taken a look at for this episode.
Right. So, in summary, we've got a few different kinds of software. We've got software that will do nothing but go get the podcast and put it on your computer. We've got software that will get the podcast, put it on your computer, and play it on your computer, but not sync it with your iPod. We've got software that will only play media and nothing else. And we've got software that does nothing but sync to an iPod once you have the podcast on your hard drive.
Having described some of the features of each of these pieces of software, we want to let you, our listeners, know that we'll have links to all of this on our show notes. And we also have an article on our website that is about how to subscribe to a podcast. It's available from the main page. It's in the articles section of the website as well. And we'll have a direct link from this episode to that document too. Now, that document's been around a while. It has described how to subscribe using Amarok and Rhythmbox, but we've recently updated it to include how to subscribe to our podcast or any other podcast using Songbird and Banshee as well. The next thing we'd like to do is provide you with some step-by-step instructions from that document on how to subscribe. We're not going to go through all of the programs that we've listed, but we'll include some of them. For an additional review, you should check out Chess Griffin's review of audio players for Linux on his episode 22. We'll have a link in the show notes for that podcast episode as well.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about Bash Potter. That's the command line, the shell script. And all you have to do with that is open the file called bp.conf and copy and paste the link to the RSS feed in there, and you're done. You run the shell script as per the tutorial that we have a link to, and that'll retrieve any new episodes. And you can automate it using cron, and there is a description in the tutorial of how to do that too. And what that'll do is, oh, for instance, every day at 3 p.m., it'll go fetch new instances, new content from all of your podcasts. Also, it makes for every day an M3U playlist for that day. So you can grab the whole folder, drag and drop it over onto your media player, and click on the playlist and play whatever podcast you caught that day. One thing that's a little bit clumsy about Bash Potter as it stands, and I think it's easily fixable, is that it makes a folder. For instance, for today it might make a program called June 26th, 2008, and dump all the podcasts into there. It doesn't make a folder for each podcast, but you could make a folder of your own for each podcast and put a separate instance of Bash Potter into that folder and automate it that way. And people that are a little bit used to this sort of thing will know what I'm talking about.
And if not, you can use Chess Griffin's custom version of Bash Potter, because that's one of the things that annoyed him as well and caused him to write that custom script. And it actually goes and creates those individual folders or individual directories for each podcast and puts the podcast in the appropriate directory.
Excellent. Saves me the trouble.
Yeah, there you go.
I also found out that Bash Potter does not limit itself to audio files. So if somebody slips in a PDF or a video file or whatever, it'll just grab those too, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is good. Okay, we're going to skip over GTK Pod because you can't subscribe to a podcast with that. But if you'd like information about how to manage your iPod from a Linux desktop with GTK Pod, we'll have a link to a How to Forge article on doing just that.
Cool enough.
So let's move on to Banshee. Banshee is a media player that's also a podcatcher and also synchronizes to your iPod or other media player.
In theory.
Well, tell us about that. In theory, Tom, you're the one who did some messing around with Banshee in preparation for this. What did you find out?
When I found out about Banshee, Banshee is like Rhythmbox with a college education. When you first open it up, if you've been using Rhythmbox, you'll go, uh-oh, it opened Rhythmbox by mistake. But no, Banshee is much, much more. And I about wet myself when I saw that. I was so happy. Cory Doctorow just drooled about Banshee on Boing Boing and about all the cool stuff it'll do. However, when I run Banshee, it dismounts my media player and then complains about D-Bus or a hardware abstraction layer error or something on that order, and I simply cannot get Banshee to run with my media player, which is disappointing. Now, Banshee just came out with version 1.0 or 1.01 or 1.02 or something, but the first stable release, and I think they're having problems with it. Might just be me with my old machine.
No, I don't think so, Tom, because I had a similar sort of problem. When I started up Banshee and plugged in my iPod, it complained about the D-Bus not being installed as well. And I checked in my Adept Package Manager, and sure enough, D-Bus is installed. What I found was on the error message, if you read the whole thing, it suggests that you launch it using dbus-launch and then Banshee. So you have to launch it from a command line, which seems a little strange for a graphical media player.
Right.
And even after I did that, it still didn't recognize my iPod when I plugged it in. And I tried it with the iPod plugged in first and plugging in the iPod after opening Banshee. Neither way worked. So between you and I, we didn't have a lot of success running Banshee.
No, and this is really a promising package.
Yeah.
I think it's just going through some growing pains right now. Their documents are nearly non-existent, but in the process of being built, and they don't have a proper forum where you can. They have a mailing list, and I'm not a big fan of mailing lists, just because your mailbox gets filled up so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in the near future, Banshee is going to be a great solution for just about everybody.
Right. Well, I found an article on the simplehelp.net site. We'll include a link in the show notes, of course, on how to use Banshee to manage your iPod in Ubuntu. I'm sure it'll work in other distributions of Linux as well. But bear in mind, that's in theory, and maybe your hardware and my hardware have a little bit of incompatibility with Banshee. Maybe it'll work just fine for other people. I sure hope so.
I do, too, because it shows so much promise.
Yeah.
But moving on, in summary, Banshee looks great, but it doesn't seem to be quite ready for prime time. We will be checking back with it, and you should too, because this looks like a great application.
I agree. So let's move on to Songbird. Songbird is one of those applications that is built on Mozilla. So if you really look under the hood in Songbird, you'll see a browser. In fact, some of the functionality there is very reminiscent of something like Firefox or the Mozilla
right.
browser as well. We have a How to Forge article linked from the website on how to manage your iPod from a Linux desktop with Songbird, and also a simplehelp.net article that describes something similar. I had a good deal of success with Songbird. I can't say I care for the very dark black background that they use. I do understand that you can skin it with some other themes, but it seems to work quite well, although the instructions that Songbird provides I found a little bit confusing, and maybe that's just because I've used other podcatchers and media players, and they do things a little uniquely with Songbird.
Sure. And I have to agree with that black background thing. Anytime I see a black background, my first reaction, and it might be a wrong reaction, is children did this. Because an adult, and especially a very seasoned adult such as myself, has trouble with contrast, and black background is just it's hard on the eyes. So, yeah, that kind of turned me off to Songbird. Maybe if I reskinned it and tried it again. But it seems to be pretty simple to sign up for a new podcast. You click on File, new subscription, and then you type in or paste in the URL of the website with the RSS feed, point to a folder, and hit OK, and it's all done. And I will be revisiting Songbird.
Right, and we have all of those instructions and some screenshots linked from the show notes as well.
If you're using Rhythmbox, it's very easy to subscribe to a podcast. You just click on Podcasts on the left, and then on top there's a button that says New Podcast, and a window will open, and you drop in the address of the RSS feed, and you're all done. It goes and grabs it. Once again, you need something else to move that media over to your media player.
And last but not least, certainly my favorite is Amarok. Amarok does an excellent job, in my opinion, of subscribing to a podcast and giving you the flexibility to change the settings as to how many episodes of each individual podcast you want to download. So if some podcasts come out very frequently and you only want it to remember the last five, then you can set that up for that kind of a podcast. On the other hand, if you have a podcast that you want to make sure that you receive every single episode on that one, you can switch it so that it downloads every episode. You can also choose to have it automatically transfer over to the queue for loading into your portable media player, or you can choose on a podcast-by-podcast basis not to have it automatically transferred when it downloads. So there's a lot of flexibility in how you use Amarok. So to actually subscribe to a podcast using Amarok, it's quite simple. Open the playlist panel in Amarok. That's the link over on the left-hand side. Right-click Podcasts in the list and select Add a Podcast from the menu that comes up. The Add Podcast dialog box opens, and simply type or paste the URL for the subscription link, the RSS feed, right there in the Add Podcast dialog box and click OK. The podcast is located, the episodes are added to the playlist, and you can play them right away, but they're not actually downloaded to your hard drive until you complete the next step, which is optional. You right-click on the name of the podcast in the list after you've subscribed to it and select Configure to change how and where the episodes are downloaded. So what have we talked about today, Tom?
Hopefully we haven't confused people. As with anything else Linux, when you want to do something, there are a lot of different ways to do it. We just covered some of them. And you're going to have to go and experiment yourself and find out what you like, but we gave you some places to start from.
And we also gave you some step-by-step instructions on how to subscribe to a podcast so that they are automatically downloaded to your computer. From there, you can, with the right software, transfer them to your portable media player. And I also have to say that in comparing the Linux-based podcatchers that do the transfer to an iPod or other media player, they do function a little bit differently than iTunes. One of the things I've noticed with iTunes is that as soon as you plug in your iPod, iTunes pops up and starts synchronizing your music and anything else that you've asked it to synchronize right away. Some people find that a very useful feature. I personally find it a little annoying because I like to control a little bit more accurately what's going to go into my iPod and what is not. And so something like Amarok or any of the other podcatchers that we've talked about give you the ability to either manually select the media that you want to go over to your player or automatically schedule it to a queue that then, with a click of a single button, you can transfer to your media player when you choose to do so, not when iTunes chooses to do it.
Right, and I'm not a big fan of things popping open without my calling them first either, so I have to agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Okay, and We have mentioned quite a few links to different great articles, and you can find those links over at goinglinux.com. What do we got coming up next, Larry?
Well, on our next episode, listener feedback, of course. Until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information and detailed instructions with screenshots. You can email us with your comments, questions, and suggestions.
And since the next episode is listener feedback, how about sending us an audio comment, either by email or leave it on your listener feedback line, and we'll play it on the show. The feedback line is 206-350-5251. Hit a plus one if you're not in the States. And our email is goinglinux@gmail.com.
You can download the episodes from the website, or you can use the Flash Player to play them right there on the website.
And you can also get future episodes delivered directly to your computer automatically as soon as a new episode is available. And if you've listened to this episode, you now have a good idea of how to do that.
So until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.